from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Do we have Michael McHenry?
Michael's good to go.
All right. So we've been talking a lot of baseball today, obviously. A lot of news yesterday coming out of the Pirates. And joining us now is Michael McHenry, who obviously is a former player but also broadcasts games and does all kinds of analysis for Pittsburgh. What is it? Sportsnet Pittsburgh, right? Okay. That channel changes name so often, I always forget what it is. How you doing, Michael?
Good. We're like a nice buffet. We just kind of choose what we like year to year.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And so, I mean, whatever the name of your network is, no, I'm just teasing. It's Pittsburgh Sportsnet. Mike, yesterday, obviously, the Pirates made some news and kind of, almost like throwing really a bucket of cold water on people who, because it came out of nowhere, it was so shocking. And that would be that O'Neill Cruz is now the center fielder of the Pirates. What are your thoughts on that? And, of course, you played the game. How hard can it be to make a transition like that?
You know, I think the best way to think about it before I get into just my thoughts in it is you have a shortstop who's 6'7", and it's unprecedented. He's Kevin Durant playing shortstop. So, first off, kudos to him for doing all he did and giving all the effort he did. I don't think that's been said enough. I think he would have figured it out just because knowing him and knowing his resilience to it, I think it's tough. You know, if you look back, he was had a positive grade when it comes to outs above average before he hurt his ankle. I know there was a short stint. And then, you know, coming back from the injury, I don't think he ever got his footing, but it seemed like he's been getting his footing. He stole 15 bags in a row without getting caught. So now with that being said, I first think about the player. What did the player wanted to do? How did he respond? And everything that I understand is, you know, he was willing to do this. And that's the most important thing. You want the buy-in. And that also shows me who he is, that he wants to be a competitor. He wants to be a winner and he'll do whatever it takes. I do think it'll help his body. It'll save him. And I'm excited to watch this guy run around in the grass. I feel like he's a gazelle that's just been asking to run. So it's going to be a lot of fun to watch him kind of put all this together. I don't think it's going to be as difficult as people think, because if you've watched him go back on a fly ball, he gets to places most guys don't on the shortstop side. The one thing I did talk to Brault about last night was why center field over left field. He's always seen the ball come off the bat on the left side. So I thought it was interesting. And Brault believes center field is a little bit easier to play than the other two. I played left and right. I didn't play any center. Obviously, I wasn't a speed demon. So yeah, it was cool to get that perspective from Brault, but at the same time, I always thought when I was on one side, it was easier, because when I went to the right side, it was different.
The time is 1:08, brought to you by Gina Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty. We're here, we're talking to Michael McHenry. Mike, the question that I have asked, and actually we have Derek Sheldon on a little earlier, and he didn't really have a great answer. So I'm asking you, what if this doesn't work? Then what? What's next for him? What do you do with O'Neill Cruz? Because I said, can you always bring him back to the infield? And Shelton basically said no.
So reality of it is, why wouldn't it work? Is a better question. I think you're looking at shortstop as an unprecedented thing. So if it worked, incredible. But who do you have help develop him as a shortstop? I don't know a 6'7 shortstop that can run like a gazelle and hit a ball 9,000 feet. So that's a different thing. Now you put him in the outfield, you can look at Judge, you can look at Stanton, you can look at guys that have been in the outfield that this guy's a better athlete. And you can look at the transition from the dirt to grass and the grass to dirt. It's completely different. I mean, what Harper did was remarkable. But I think it's going to work out. I think it'll play. It may be like Tatis Jr., where he started in center and ended up in right. I could see O'Neill Cruz going to one of the corners. But I think that's the advantage we have with such an incredible athlete. And I do a bunch of USA events, and I have to evaluate talent at 18 years old. The best players in the country are all shortstops, and we end up picking a shortstop 99% of the time to play center or left, because you want to have the best athletes on the diamond at all costs, and those guys start to transition out, right? So I think the opportunity for him to grow and learn is going to be remarkable. Watching him run in the outfield is going to be fun. But, man, I cannot wait till he gets that first ball off the wall and Bo Jackson somebody.
Well, I think that's the – I mean, obviously watching him with his – you know, he's gonna be somebody probably that is going to rob some home runs, probably rob some extra base hit stuff. He's going to be somebody who probably does that just because of his length. But the question is always with any of these guys, is he going to make the routine plays all the time?
I mean, time will tell. Yeah. I think it takes time. You know, I always use John Wooden. I've read a bunch of his books, and his belief was you have to allow guys to go out and fail to ever learn exactly who they are. But biggest thing is you have to learn your capabilities. Most of the routine plays, the problem is because you don't understand that, hey, that's the play I struggle the most on because I think too much. And that's what it looks like with O'Neal Cruz. The more time he had, the worse it got. If he slid, grabbed a ball, turned around and threw, it was almost on the money every time and beautiful. So it's that exceptional play he's great at. It's like, how do you make that a little bit more you when it's a routine play? Tulowitzki, Barmas, they would attack, fill it with one hand and throw it on the run. So they're always moving. I think he's going to figure that out in the outfield if they give him time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's one question that will, you know, time will answer. The other ones are, can Isaiah Kiner-Falefa be an everyday shortstop? Can Nick Gonzalez continue to build on what he's done at second base? I mean, these are, and also what about Henry Davis behind the plate? These are things that the next month, you know, the Pirates would really like to have answers for all three, wouldn't they?
Yes and no. I mean, I'll start with Henry Davis. I mean, you have three guys. Bart's the only one without options, the only one that's going to get a pay raise next year. So he's on the team and he's not going anywhere. Delay is a question that they're going to have to answer because he's also going to be out of options. You have Indy Rodriguez, who somehow keeps getting forgot about. He's going to be floating in my mind. They're already having him play first base, getting some at-bats in the Bridge League. So I think you see that happening. Henry Davis played a little bit right field. If these guys all hit like they can, you're going to have all three of them some way, some shape or form rotating or in this lineup every day. But the only way we're going to know with Henry Davis is if he plays. He's shown success in the minor leagues like Buster Posey, like guys that have put up incredible careers. So I don't know. Time will tell once again with him. But you have three guys that could really, really help your ball club moving forward, and you're going to need three. And we may have the best three in baseball when it all comes together. And then – going up the middle, I go off IKF. He said he loves to roam. And I don't know if being a shortstop, since that's what he was originally, if that's his love, he's going to be great at it. Defensively, we got shored up the middle with him and Gonzalez as good as we possibly could. If Cruz is what we think we can be or he can be, then we may have the best center, the diamond in the National League Central. There's no question in my mind. Defensively.
Yeah. From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
And that's the thing. I mean, obviously, if he can play well, and then, of course, you got to get Cabrian Hayes, you know, healthy and back for next year. I mean, if you go into the offseason and you kind of know who your shortstop is, who your second baseman is, who your third baseman is, and then your outfield, you know, you figured something out with O'Neal Cruz, and you obviously have Reynolds. I mean, there's not a whole lot of work that needs to be done in the offseason, is there?
No, it's kind of like when you think about 2012. So 2012, they didn't think they were going to get Russell Martin, but it was a no-brainer, right? A guy coming off a down year that wants to resurrect his career in a positive way to get that big contract. If they have that option at some of these positions and it enhances shortstop, let's say, well, IKF has been a utility guy and been incredible at it his entire career. So that's not a different move, and you're not hurting his feelings. There's no emotion behind it. It's just, hey, this makes the ball club better, and you know that's what he wants. They may go get a shortstop. And that's the coolest part about all of this, is the way that they're designing this team right now is you have flexibility, but they're shoring up positions that we haven't seen shored up. When Michael Taylor came in, we thought he was a center fielder. But then Jack Swinsey's playing center. Bay's playing center. He's playing center. We have all these things happening, and they were trying to figure it out. And I think they're shoring up some of their things. Maybe they need a little bit of time to see the numbers and see their ability. But I think that's the one assurance they're giving us, is like, hey, this is what we're doing moving forward. Let's see, you know, if they give it a month, 2 months. I think it takes time.
Well, and I think another question that they've got to, I guess, figure out, would you offer Rowdy Tellez another contract for next year? I mean, has he shown you enough this year that you think that he could be your first baseman?
I love Rowdy. I really do. But if you – they didn't go after Santana last year, so I can't understand why they go back after Rowdy. So that would be a confusing move for me, especially when I don't know if he fits as well next year as he did this year. But they know more than I do a lot of times.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, again, because that's the one position where there's obviously really a question. The other guy is, have you seen enough over the last 2 weeks to think that Brian De La Cruz has played himself into being on the team again next year?
Well, once again, I think you look at it as what's available, what's out there, what can we do? We have a deep, deep pitching core. In the minor leagues, we have very, very strong low-level minor leagues. Obviously, we fell when it comes to prospect status to 20, but it's because a lot of our big prospects are in the lower levels when it comes to offense. So they have a lot of assets that are kind of under the radar that they could trade and go get, you know, maybe a young first baseman or somebody from a rebuilding squad. I mean, the Orioles have a ton of hitters that maybe they can find a deal with them, and they need some pitching. So it's going to be interesting to see how they put that all together. But once again, it's all about either you bet on the guy or you bet on what you think you're going to get from someone else. And I haven't seen them at first base. They didn't bet on Santana. So why would they bet on him, you know, Rowdy? You know, what they do with De La Cruz, I don't know. I mean, I think if they can find a better option, they're going to go out and get it.
Yeah, that's the thing. You got De La Cruz. You got, I mean, they've got so many questions, but, you know, they still got 30 games this year left. And, you know, of course, I mean, theoretically, you want to go 30-0. But absent of that, you know, these are the things that you're trying to, you know, get out of these last 30 days, right, Mike? You want to find out before 2025 begins what you have so you can sort of hit the ground running next year.
Yeah, I think you look at you lay it out, right? You do a whiteboard and say, where can we shore up some things? So if like you everybody talks about first base, so I'm gonna use that as an example. If you have offense coming from other places that don't normally have that offense, and you can make up for the first baseman, it doesn't have to be an offensive minded first base, be a defensive minded first baseman. I think it's one of the most important defensive places on the field that's not talked about because it touches the ball so much. So you kind of look at it as like, where do we need this? And then you say, we have a pitching staff that could be possibly the best in baseball next year. When you think about a three-headed monster plus Ortiz, and I'm going to say it's a four-headed monster because that guy's been unbelievable. We should talk about it way more. Ortiz. So you have four guys. Oviedo's coming back. He's been a sure thing in the bullpen. So worst case scenario, we have an absolute juggernaut psychopath in the bullpen. And then we have Harrington, Bubba Chandler, Burrows, and these guys that are not just like Bubba, especially the dude's stuff could play in the big leagues right now. And that's five guys with elite stuff in a certain way that are all possibly going to be top 30 pitchers. And we'll have two possibly in the top 10, maybe three.
Yeah.
Within a year. You're talking about a ridiculous rotation. So the defense behind it shores you up. Enough offense balanced out is going to change this team really, really fast if it plays out the way it could.
Well, as I asked Derek Shelton, you know, if you look at what they have perhaps for next year, Oviedo, Jones, Skeens, Keller, Falter, Ortiz, perhaps Chandler, they're going to have a lot of different options to try and fill out that rotation, aren't they?
Yeah, not like normal options. You're talking about Chandler 99, Skeens 99, Jones 99, Oviedo was 97, 98, Ortiz is 95 to 98. Keller is one of the best field pitchers in baseball, and I think he's going to be even better next year. And then you throw in Falter and what he's done this year, and if he becomes a swing guy like Ortiz did, I think his weapons grow too. So it's there's a lot of really cool things happening on the pitching side, and I'm excited about it, obviously, being a catcher. And that's why the catching situation is so important. If you can have an offensive-minded, a defensive-minded core of guys, you're going to have something that could really run well as an oiled machine, and Skeens being the leader of the pack, I think it'd be really cool.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think it could be a lot of fun watching this play out next year for sure. Michael, last one I have for you. Jared Jones on the mound tonight. He hasn't pitched in a while, obviously. You know, what do you want to see from him tonight?
I want to see him dominate the bottom of the zone and get his slider below the zone early in the game. I think that's really, especially on glove side. I think that's incredibly important to get him that extension. When he's there, everything's good. But coming off that lat injury, a lot of times you want to pull back. You almost want to pull that scap back so you don't have the same extension and the ball starts to be pushed kind of in the zone instead of his kind of rises up through the zone and he almost pushes it up. I don't want to see any of that. I want to see him have that whippy release with full extension and freedom. And that's what I'm looking for.
Mike, thank you as always. We'll do it again next week, and I guess have fun trying to analyze O'Neal Cruz as an outfielder.
Ha, I will, because he'll do a bunch of things we've never seen before. Yeah, no matter what.
Yeah, for sure. All right, thanks, Mike. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, take care. Sounds good.
Yep, as Michael McHenry.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.